This podcast is for educational and informational purposes only. It is not medical advice. I am not a doctor, and nothing you hear in this episode should be interpreted as diagnosis, treatment, or a recommendation to use any medication or peptide. Always consult a qualified healthcare professional before making decisions about your health. Welcome back. Today we are going to talk about what has been happening lately in the peptide world, what researchers are excited about, what clinicians are watching closely, and what trends are shaping how peptides are being discussed in 2025. I am going to walk you through this in a clear, conversational way so you can follow along without needing a science degree, but we will still respect the science behind it. One of the biggest ongoing stories in peptides continues to be the evolution of metabolic peptides. GLP-1 based therapies have moved far beyond basic appetite suppression in the public conversation. Researchers are now focused on multi-receptor agonists, especially compounds that activate GLP-1, GP, and glucagon receptors together. These triple agonists are being studied not just for weight loss, but for how they impact visceral fat, fatty liver disease, insulin sensitivity, and even cardiovascular risk markers. What is interesting is that newer data suggests that fat loss with these compounds is not simply about eating less. There appears to be a direct signaling effect on adipose tissue, particularly visceral fat, which behaves very differently than subcutaneous fat. Another major shift is how clinicians are talking about body composition instead of just weight. The concern early on with GLP-1 therapies was muscle loss. Newer protocols and research discussions are now centered on pairing metabolic peptides with growth hormone secretagogues like sermorelin or tesamorelin, as well as mitochondrial peptides such as MoC. The goal is to preserve lean mass, improve metabolic flexibility, and avoid the frail phenotype that can come with rapid weight loss. This has changed how peptide stacks are being designed and discussed, especially among longevity-focused practitioners. Speaking of mitochondrial peptides, MoC continues to gain attention. Recent discussions in the research community focus on its role as an exercise mimetic. That means it may help activate some of the same pathways as physical activity at the cellular level. This does not replace exercise, but it may help people who are metabolically compromised regain some insulin sensitivity and energy production capacity. Researchers are particularly interested in how MoC interacts with AMPK signaling and mitochondrial biogenesis. There is also growing curiosity about whether mitochondrial peptides could play a role in healthy aging by supporting cellular energy as we get older. Another peptide that continues to be discussed heavily is thymosin alpha-1. Originally known for immune modulation, it is now being looked at through a longevity and inflammation lens. Chronic low-grade inflammation is a hallmark of aging, sometimes referred to as inflammaging. Thymosin alpha-1 appears to help regulate immune balance rather than simply stimulate or suppress it. This has led to interest in its potential role for people dealing with autoimmune conditions, chronic infections, or immune exhaustion. Researchers are also exploring how it might pair with other immune-supporting peptides like thymulin. Neurological peptides are another area of growing interest. C-max and C-link continue to be discussed not just as nootropic or anti-anxiety compounds, but as neuroprotective agents. Researchers are paying close attention to their effects on brain-derived neurotrophic factor, inflammation in the brain, and stress response pathways. There is increasing discussion around how chronic stress and trauma alter neurochemistry over time, and how peptides might help restore balance rather than simply masking symptoms. This is part of a broader shift away from symptom suppression and toward systems-level regulation. BPC-157 remains one of the most talked about peptides, but the conversation around it has matured. Early hype focused on injury healing and gut repair, and now the discussion is more nuanced. Researchers are interested in its angiogenic properties, meaning its ability to support healthy blood vessel formation. There is also ongoing exploration of how BPC-157 interacts with the gut-brain axis. Leaky gut, or increased intestinal permeability, has become a mainstream topic, and peptides that support gut lining integrity are being examined for their downstream effects on inflammation, mood, and immune function. TB500 is also being reframed. Rather than just a healing peptide for athletes, it is now being discussed in the context of tissue remodeling and cellular migration. This has implications not just for muscle and tendon recovery, but potentially for age-related tissue degeneration. Researchers are cautious, but curious, about how peptides that influence actin and cell movement might be leveraged in regenerative medicine. Another interesting trend is the resurgence of interest in apithalon. This peptide has been around for decades, but recent discussions have focused again on telomeres and circadian rhythm regulation. Apithalon is being examined for its potential effects on melatonin regulation and sleep architecture, especially in older adults. Sleep is increasingly recognized as a cornerstone of longevity, and peptides that support deep, restorative sleep without sedative effects are gaining attention. NAD-related peptides and compounds continue to evolve as well. While NAD infusions and precursors like NMN and NR remain popular, researchers are now discussing how NAD pathways interact with peptides that influence mitochondrial health and DNA repair. The focus is shifting towards synergy rather than single compound solutions. The idea is that supporting cellular energy, repair mechanisms, and metabolic signaling together may yield better long-term outcomes. One of the most important developments in the peptide space is not a single peptide, but a change in mindset. There is a growing emphasis on cycling, rotating, and personalizing peptide protocols. Rather than using everything all the time, clinicians and researchers are talking about respecting receptor sensitivity, downstream signaling fatigue, and the body's need for rest periods. This approach mirrors what we already understand about training cycles and recovery and fitness, now applied to biochemical signaling. Safety and sourcing have also become much more prominent topics. As peptides become more popular, there is increased scrutiny on purity, testing, and transparency. Discussions now frequently include the importance of third-party testing, proper storage, and understanding degradation. This is a positive shift, as it encourages informed use rather than reckless experimentation. Another emerging area is the intersection of peptides and women's health. Historically, much of the data has been male-focused, but that is changing. Researchers are now discussing how hormonal fluctuations, menopause, and metabolic shifts unique to women influence peptide response. There is particular interest in how peptides can support body composition, cognitive clarity, and connective tissue health in perimenopausal and postmenopausal women. Inflammation remains a central theme across nearly all peptide research. Whether the focus is metabolic disease, neurodegeneration, autoimmune conditions, or aging, chronic inflammation shows up as a common denominator. Peptides like KPV, which is derived from alpha-MSH, are being explored for their anti-inflammatory effects, particularly in the gut and skin. This has implications for conditions ranging from inflammatory bowel disease to psoriasis. Another area gaining attention is sexual health peptides. PT-141 continues to be studied for its effects on desire and arousal, but newer discussions include the psychological and neurological components of libido. Researchers are interested in how stress, inflammation, and neurotransmitter balance affect sexual function, and whether peptides can support these systems in a more holistic way. Peptides are also being discussed more openly in the context of mental health. This is a delicate area, but the conversation is shifting toward how neuroinflammation, gut health, and mitochondrial function contribute to mood disorders. Rather than viewing anxiety or depression as purely neurotransmitter issues, researchers are looking at whole-body signaling. Peptides that influence stress response, immune balance, and neuroplasticity are part of this broader picture. Another important trend is the integration of peptides with lifestyle interventions. The message from many researchers is clear. Peptides work best when paired with proper nutrition, resistance training, sleep, and stress management. They are not magic, but they may amplify the benefits of healthy behaviors. This framing helps set realistic expectations and promotes responsible use. There is also increasing discussion about aging as a modifiable process rather than an inevitable decline. Peptides are part of a toolkit that includes exercise, nutrition, and mindset. The focus is on extending health span, not just lifespan. That means preserving mobility, cognition, and independence as long as possible. One of the more controversial topics continues to be regulatory oversight. Peptides exist in a gray area, and this has sparked debate about access, safety, and innovation. Some argue that increased regulation could protect consumers, while others worry it could stifle research and individualized care. This conversation is ongoing and likely to shape the future of the peptide landscape. Another interesting development is the use of peptides in combination with stem cell therapies. While still experimental, researchers are exploring whether peptides can enhance stem cell signaling, homing, and survival. This could have implications for tissue repair and regenerative medicine, though much more data is needed. We are also seeing more emphasis on education. Podcasts, communities, and practitioner-led discussions are helping to demystify peptides. This is important because informed users are more likely to prioritize safety, ask better questions, and understand limitations. As we move forward, expect to hear more about peptide personalization. Genetic data, metabolic markers, and inflammatory profiles may eventually guide peptide selection and dosing. This is still emerging, but it represents a shift toward precision health rather than one-size-fits-all approaches. Before we wrap up, it is important to ground all of this excitement in realism. Peptides are tools, not miracles. They interact with complex biological systems that we are still learning about. Responsible use, ongoing research, and open dialogue are essential as this field evolves. This podcast is for educational and informational purposes only. It is not medical advice. I am not a doctor, and nothing you hear in this episode should be interpreted as diagnosis, treatment, or a recommendation to use any medication or peptide. Always consult a qualified healthcare professional before making decisions about your health. Thanks for listening, keep learning, and stay curious.